Chapter 14. Amazingly, as Pat sat at the dining table with us, she became calm. "You know, I'm sorry that Walter is dead," she told Mom, "but I'm kind of relieved, too, that the worry has ended. I've wondered all these years where he was, what kind of life he had. I'll probably never know the answer to those things, but at least I know where he is now, and I won't keep looking for him to come back." Sighing, Pat took another sip of coffee, then carried her cup to the sink. Turning to Mom, she said, "If you'll drive me out to my house, Flora, I think I'd like to lie down for a bit. Now, if my son would just come home." After she returned from Pat's house, Mom and I sat on the porch swing and drank in the quiet of a lazy summer day. Jethro lay on a cushioned porch chair, his nose between his paws. Actually, a summer day in Oklahoma is never quiet. The cicadas grated their gravelly song, and down by Lee Creek, a bullfrog voiced his approval of his lot in life. A mockingbird sang in an oak, and some small, secretive animal scuttled through the underbrush. "We've got to find Jasper," I told Mom. "Just how do you think we should go about that?" she asked. I pushed the swing with my toe. "I'm not sure. I've been thinking about it. We have to set a trap of some sort, some way to lure him out. He must be around here, somewhere, close. He would never leave his mother unguarded." Mom nodded. "You're right. Jasper is protective of Pat." We were interrupted by the sound of an approaching vehicle. An old truck chugged up the hill and across the bridge. "That looks like Burke Hopkins's truck," Mom said, shading her eyes with her hand. We stood up to meet Burke as he parked in the driveway, trudged across the yard and climbed the porch steps, a sack in his hand, and his dog Ranger at his heels. "Burke, how nice to see you," Mom said, smiling. "Come and join us." She motioned toward one of the porch chairs. "I'll bring out some iced tea," I said. Jethro jumped to the floor and scooted into the house ahead of me.
"Thanks."
Burke took off his cap, set the brown paper sack beside him, and wiped his forehead with a neatly folded white handkerchief.
"Feels mighty good to sit for a spell. Warm day and the rain we've had makes it kind of muggy."
With a heavy sigh, Ranger lay down at his feet. I brought the tea. Burke's hand, as he took the glass, shook. What was up with our old friend?
"How are those hens I gave you?" Burke asked. "Any of them in the family way yet?"
"One," Mom answered.
"She's not the best-tempered gal in the flock, but maybe she'll be a good mother."
For a few seconds we sat, listening to the slow squeaking of the porch swing and the sounds of summer. Burke's usual smile was gone. Indeed, he was looking older than he had Sunday night. Finally, Burke cleared his throat and set his glass on the porch beside his sack.
"I've got something I need to tell both of you," he began. "I don't rightly know how to do it, though I'm not even sure that I should, but..."
His voice trailed off as he squinted down the hill at Lee Creek sparkling in the sun. I fidgeted. What on earth was bearing on his mind? Did he have some information about Pat's husband? Finally, the silence got to me. "Mr. Hopkins, do you know who killed Walter Harris?"
"Walter?"
His look of surprise was genuine.
"Are you saying the dead man you found is Walter Harris? Jasper's pa?"
I nodded. "Sorry, I forgot that you probably hadn't heard yet."
"No, I hadn't," Burke said thoughtfully. "I haven't seen Walter since he left. Hate to say it, but about the only thing I remember about him was that he never was very work brittle."
Mom nodded.
"You mean he was kind of lazy and no account for working?" "That's what I mean," Burke said. "I wonder why he came back. No, what I've got to say doesn't have anything to do with poor old Walter, and I don't know how to edge up on it, so I'll just spit it out."
In my opinion, Burke was a master edger. He was very good at beating around the bush. I would have to try to curb my impatience.
"I've got in a habit of going over to Tahlequah ever so often to visit old friends in a nursing home there,"
he began slowly. I knew that Burke, who was Cherokee, went to the capital of the Cherokee Nation frequently to visit or to take a neighbor to the courthouse to check out a land deed. There wasn't a kinder soul in Ventress County than Burke. He gazed at a hawk sitting on the top limb of a nearby sycamore.
Well, there was one particular fellow I always visited. He was a World War II vet. Mine was as sharp as my hunting knife. He was missing a leg from the war. He was Cherokee, too, and we seemed to have a lot in common. He had been gone from Oklahoma for quite some time and only recently came back. He said he wanted to spend his final days in his hometown.
Who was this fella? I interrupted. You're talking in past tense. Did he die? Burke frowned.
Now hold your horses, Darcy. I'm getting to that. For a long time, I didn't know his last name, just knew him as Jeff. Finally, he told me his name and the name of the girl he had planned to marry a long, long time ago. And then, next time I went to visit, he was gone. Dead. Died in his sleep, Darcy, so I don't think there's a mystery there.
There had to be more to Burke's story. Why should it be hard to tell us about visiting with a World War II soldier? And sad as it was, his death would surely not have been unexpected. Why didn't Burke quit swirling the ice in his glass and get on with it? Burke reached down and patted Ranger's head. The old dog thumped his tail on the porch in appreciation.
Jeff didn't own much of this world's goods. Oh, there was the usual nursing home stuff, but other than that, he had just one piece of furniture in his room, an old treadle sewing machine, kind of toward the back of the room. He said it had belonged to his mother, and a cousin kept it for him. When he went to see this cousin just before she died, she gave it back to him. A long time ago, Jeff meant to give it to the girl he was going to marry. He was mighty particular with that sewing machine. He'd roll the wheelchair over to it and dust it every day.
Burke paused and shook his head.
He had a picture sitting in a frame on top of the sewing machine, an old faded picture of himself when he was just a young man in his soldier's uniform. His intended was in the picture, too. They made a mighty handsome pair, smiling and happy, not knowing what lay ahead for either of them, which, come to think of it, was probably just as well.
Did he marry her? Mom asked. Is there a happy ending to this story, Burke?
Depends on how you look at it,
he said.
Jeff told me his plane had been shot down in the war and he was captured. Then he was in a hospital in France for a long time. His own folks thought he was dead. For a time, he didn't remember much, not even who he was. During those years, his parents died not knowing he was still alive, and he became bitter about life in general. After the war, he threw in with a sorry lot up north somewheres and got in trouble with the law for bank robbery. Spent some time in jail.
Shaking her head, Mom said slowly, "That sure is a sad story. What about Jeff's fiancée? Didn't he want to see her again? Tell her he was alive?" Burke took a deep breath, his shoulders rising and falling. He shook his head.
He said he'd left her as a young fellow with a good outlook on life, and she deserved more than a cripple. Then, after his stint as an outlaw, he was ashamed to face her. Along the way, he found the Lord and became a Christian, but he said it was better that his sweetheart thought he was dead.
A suspicion began in the back of my mind. A preposterous idea was taking shape. Unshed tears felt hot behind my eyelids. What was Jeff's last name, Burke? I whispered.
Now let me finish up, Darcy. Jeff told me his name and his sweetheart's name, and then I got a good look at that picture he had sitting on top of the sewing machine. He made me promise not to tell her that he was alive. He wanted her to remember him as the young man he used to be, all full of life and hopes and dreams.
Reaching into the sack he had brought with him, Burke pulled out an old picture and handed it to Mom. The porch swing stilled. Mom stared at the two people in the photograph, her brow furrowed quickly. I slid closer and took her hand in mine. She looked up at me, her eyes wide and wondering. "It's Miss Georgia Jenkins and a young man in uniform," she said. Then she looked directly at Burke. "Are you telling me that the man in this picture, this Jeff, that you got to know at the nursing home is actually Jefferson Thorne?" My breath caught in my throat. Mom had known for some time that Granny Grace had adopted her. Recently, we found out Miss Georgia was her mother. I remembered Miss Georgia's tears as she told Mom the pain she had felt at giving her up. She said that Mom's father was a soldier named Jefferson Thorne, but Miss Georgia thought he had been killed during the war. Burke nodded, his eyes never leaving Mom's face.
"Yes, Flora, that was Jeff's full name. The nursing home folks said that he wanted me to have the sewing machine, and that picture he kept sitting on top of it. I took them, but I don't want them, so they are yours. You can decide whether you want Miss Georgia to know the story I've told you. It's not for me to say."
Burke smiled and got to his feet. Ranger scrambled up and stood looking at him.
"I feel better now that I've gotten that load off my chest. Maybe that's selfish of me, 'cause I've just shifted it onto the both of you. Darcy, if you'll give me a hand, I believe we can tote that machine into your house."